Founding Father James Madison, a key architect of the U.S. Constitution, once said, "A well-instructed people alone can be permanently a free people." Thomas Jefferson noted, "If a nation expects to be ignorant and free in a state of civilization, it expects what never was and never will be. Where the press is free and every man able to read, all is safe." But today, there is a strong move to change education into indoctrination. Publius PR notes, quote, "The left envisions a public education system in America where children are no longer the responsibility of their parents, but rather mere wards of the state," end quote. Ian Pryor is an advocate for parental rights in education. He's written a book entitled Parents of the World Unite: How to Save Our Schools from the Left's Radical Agenda. And we're going to be talking with Ian Pryor right now. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Ian, we thank you so much for being with us on the program.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. First of all, how about a quick comment about some of those quotes I just gave from the Founding Fathers on the importance of education? But of course, education has to be truthful, and you know, it's got to teach the kids the truth, not some sort of woke agenda.
Well, you know, you certainly can't keep the republic and the form of government that we have that respects individual liberties if you're not constantly passing down those values and the importance of those liberties and those checks and balances through education. And unfortunately, what we're seeing is, you know, the wokeification of education, where, you know, those liberties and those checks and balances are no longer sacrosanct. Instead, it's, you know, the bureaucracies and the elected officials now serving the bureaucracies as far as school boards go, taking away individual rights and valuing their own political agendas over that of the constituency that they serve.
You're in the state of Virginia, I understand, and there's been a lot of conflict, in Virginia related to the public schools. How about a quick comment, just kind of an overview on that?
Yeah, so that's really the basics of my book. Was one of the leaders here in the Loudoun County fight in 2021 and in 2022, where, you know, you really saw a school board and a school administration that, you know, was putting their political agendas ahead of academics, ahead of school safety. And that really all exploded in October of 2021 when we learned that there was a sexual assault at a school, a gender fluid boy in a girl's bathroom, that the superintendent lied about that to the public, transferred the kid to a new school. And there was a second sexual assault, and then people learned about what happened. And I think that really motivated people around the Commonwealth to understand that what parents had been talking about for so long was true. And we saw there that, you know, the election of Glenn Youngkin, Winsome Sears, and Jason Meares, which ultimately led to a criminal investigation, a special grand jury, and the indictment of our former superintendent, as well as the indictment of our school spokesperson for perjury.
Wow. And it is amazing to think about that election of the governor and Winsome Sears and so forth, that it was related to education. I mean, that was the catalyst issue.
It certainly was. I think it was a long time coming, but really what spiked it, I think, here was the school shutdowns, where people started to organize into, you know, parent groups. And then there were several inflection points along the way. You know, there was a private Facebook group full of far left activists that wanted to cancel the parents that were out there trying to reopen schools and speaking out against the use of critical race theory in the curriculum and in teacher trainings. And then you had a teacher that was put on suspension for speaking out against the proposed transgender policy. And then of course you had the sexual assault cover up, which I just touched upon. So, you know, you really had all of those things over the course of, you know, 2 years leading into that election, where, you know, probably in June of 2021, education would have been fifth on the polling. But by the time you got to the weekend before the election, it was number one.
Okay, what is critical race theory and why is it a problem?
Well, critical race theory is really anathema to Western liberalism, right? It teaches that, you know, our systems, our institutions, our language, our cultures, our holidays are all systemically racist, and that you need to be actively being anti-racist, which means doesn't mean not racist, right? What it means is you need to be looking every day for the racism in every type of situation and calling it out. And if you're not doing that, well, then you're not anti-racist and you are part of the systemic racism problem. So it's this big circular logic where, you know, if you are not doing this, if you are not calling people out because, you know, for whatever reason, not, you know, not because they said something blatantly racist, but because they're part of a system that, you know, is deemed to be systemically racist, then you are part of the problem.
You know, at the very opening of this segment, I quoted James Madison and I quoted Thomas Jefferson. In previous generations, these were men of great, men held up in great honor. And frankly, they ought to be because they helped create a system of freedom for people of all races and so forth. Now, obviously, you know, they didn't get everything right all at the very, you know, at the very beginning of the whole republic and so forth, but they created the framework by which it could get right, you know, over time. And that's certainly happened. But how do the founding fathers like James Madison or Thomas Jefferson or George Washington fare, you know, in our modern education? I mean, I know the answer, but I want to hear it from you.
Well, you know, I think, again, we're looking at presentism in our education. So the idea.
No, I'd like you to define that. Yeah, presentism. Define that.
The idea that you take the present values of a society and you apply them to situations 300 years ago or 700 years ago or 1,000 years ago, and then judge people solely based on those negatives, right? So the fact that, you know, Madison or Washington or Jefferson were slave owners, we're going to focus on that. We're not going to focus on the contributions that they made to society or to American history, but we're only going to focus on the negative, and we're going to focus it solely on the lens of, you know, 2023. And unfortunately, when you do that, you know, you're always, everybody in history is always going to have negatives, and you're constantly going to be essentially memory holing these historical figures and the contributions that they did make to society, which are important and valuable.
Okay, you just said memory holing. So you're referring to 1984 by George Orwell. In some ways, do you think that novel, and by the way, I wonder where the left stands on that particular novel. In many ways, I think it's an indictment against them and the whole cancel culture, and we certainly see it in our schools. Is that taught to your knowledge these days in today's public schools, 1984?
Well, I would be surprised. I'd have to go through and look into at least our local database. But, you know, one of the things that I thought was really interesting kind of on that conversation was when I think it was Hakeem Jeffries said that, you know, parents are trying to ban books. They don't want to teach their kids about the Holocaust. I thought to myself, well, let me just do a little search. So I went into the Loudoun County Public Schools library catalog, and I found a lot of books about transgender kids with a lot of copies, you know, 39 copies, 40 copies all throughout the library. And then I just searched, you know, Rise and Fall of the Third Reich to see how many copies were in there. You know, it's the seminal book on how the Third Reich came to power and the horrors that it inflicted on the world and the people of the world. And there's zero copies. So I would suspect that, you know, 1984 is probably not high on their list of things to teach in today's public schools.
Isn't that amazing? Any other comments about the founding fathers, though, that basically it seems like they're really, you know, being held accountable for things that weren't even legal at the time or they weren't illegal at the time?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that it's important that we recognize our history and we recognize the pieces of our history that, you know, are uncomfortable. But I think it's also important that we recognize that the system that the founders built effectively allowed for us to progress through the law. So it wasn't dependent upon any one person to come in and change, but it was dependent on, you know, the will of the people. And we've seen progress, whether it's, you know, the Civil War, whether it's the Civil Rights Movement, but those things are all done through our system of checks and balances, through representative democracy, through our republic. Not by fiat. And so I think when you look at the founders, you have to truly understand the system that they built was not only novel, but has really stood the test of time, at least up until now. Although you have to question with the advent of social media and, you know, how things are seeming to go now, will we be able to keep that republic, as they say?
You know, it's so interesting to me that there are people who come from other countries and they desire to live here in America. They want to be free. They want to, you know, be rid of racism, inherent racism, like the caste system in India. There was a lady from India who valued the United States Constitution, and I understand she was playing a role in Virginia, you know, in a school board, you know, in one of the counties of Virginia, and then she got ousted even though she loves the Constitution, or maybe she got ousted because she loves the Constitution.
Yeah, that happened at our State Board of Education, where our Democrat Senate, I guess, didn't take too kindly to her, you know, calling the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution remarkable documents, which I think, you know, just goes to show how far astray the left has gone. I mean, you know, 25, 30 years ago, there would be no question from both sides of the aisle that the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence are remarkable documents. But, you know, the left has really has gone so far to the deep end, making people in the middle and even people that are left of center seem like right wingers. And that's unfortunately where our political dialogue is right now.
If the left had their way when it comes to education, what would we have in America's schools?
Well, you know, if the left had their way, I mean, certainly we would have no bathrooms segregated by biological sex. We might not have sports segregated by biological sex. Everyone would be told that their biological sex is fluid, and that gender is and sex are inseparable and thus are fluid. We would have equity, right? So we would have equal outcomes no matter what. So the point being that no matter how hard you work, how hard you study, it won't matter because ultimately everyone's going to end up in the same place. So we would have a socialist system in our education system that puts ideas in kids' minds that, you know, quite frankly, aren't based on science and reality.
I understand that when parents were fighting back against some of the things going on in the schools, and, you know, they're in Virginia, that they were in some cases being labeled as domestic terrorists by the head of the Justice Department. So under the Biden administration, I mean, that's unbelievable. Domestic terrorists for being concerned about your children's education?
Well, you know, it's funny, too, because I listen to some of the left pushback out here. They say, well, Garland didn't call you domestic terrorist. He never used the word. Well, he didn't have to use the word because the National School Board Association asked him to, you know, essentially activate U.S. attorneys and the FBI to investigate parents at school board meetings under the Patriot Act. The Patriot Act has a domestic terrorism provision and talks about intimidation, threats and intimidation, and that's the exact language that he used. You know, generally, the Justice Department would not, you know, utilize resources to go investigate local issues like what happens at school board meetings. That would be handled locally by your sheriff, by your police department. But the very fact that he authorized them to investigate was triggered by the Patriot Act and the domestic terrorism provision. So, you know, it's pretty crazy. And one of the incidents that the NSBA cited in its letter was the Loudoun County incident where a dad was arrested. Well, it turned out that dad was at the school board meeting and his daughter was the one who had been sexually assaulted the previous month. So that ultimately, you know, blew back on them once it was determined that assault happened and the events that followed it. But it's pretty scary that, you know, the Department of Justice would be weaponized to go against parents really just for speaking their mind at school board meetings.
Wow. Okay, we have 45 seconds to wrap up. Where do we go from here as far as education and the woke agenda?
Well, I mean, I think it has to be litigation, it has to be legislation, and it has to be grassroots. I think people need to continue to put pressure on their school boards, on their school administrations, to allow parents to really have school systems that are neutral, right? You know, that aren't putting any kind of agenda forward, that are teaching the basics. And I think legislation is going to be necessary to ensure that they're doing it, and litigation to make sure that they're following the legislation that's passed and they're following their state and federal constitution.
All right, and we'll put a link to you to your book, Parents of the World Unite, by Ian Pryor. Ian, thanks so much for being with us. All the best.
Thanks for having me.